Violet sometimes thought about the girl she used to be when she stepped off the train in Montreal in 1936. She had been afraid of everything and everyone. She wore a threadbare coat she had inherited from her grandfather and boots that were too big. She was so ashamed of the way she looked. It never occurred to her that she might possibly be considered beautiful. It wasn't until she arrived in Montreal that anyone had ever called her pretty. She knew that certain people found nature to be a lovely thing, but for her, the city was the most beautiful sight in the world. She loved all of its details. Perched over the door of the tavern was a gargoyle of a pig's head that grinned at her every time she passed by. Atop the church was a Virgin Mary with a halo of steel stars who looked as though she were suppressing a yawn. The city possessed an absurdity that nature didn't have. She was waiting tables when she first met Frank. They both had the same shade of blue eyes. He reached into his pocket, pulled out a string of pearls, and dropped it into his teacup as a tip. They had been together ever since, living in a tiny hotel room on St. Catherine Street. The wallpaper was a beautiful cerulean blue, so it always felt like summer inside. The bedspread was covered with gold roses, and the mattress sighed with the ghosts of all the lovers who had shared it before them. The windows were cracked and looked out onto the street filled with nightclubs. When they were naked, their bodies changed color along with the marquees. They robbed banks together. Violet would scout the bank a week before to make a detailed plan. No one ever suspected a woman poking around. She had a face that conveyed innocence. And the more crimes she committed, the more innocent she looked. It made her cheeks pink and her smiling eyes a lighter blue. It put a skip in her step. During the robbery, she pretended to be a regular customer, and Frank would take her hostage. She was able to plead and weep and make her whole body shake violently. Frank said he sometimes was so convinced by her performance that he was afraid for a moment he had actually grabbed the wrong woman. Afterwards, they would laugh uproariously about it in bed, drinking wine, half-dressed in their hotel room. When she and Frank went to their first nightclub together, the singer on stage wore her hair slicked to the side and was dressed in a white dress made out of silk ribbons. Her voice was as thick and low as syrup. She wasn't explicitly singing about sex, but the way she crooned about staying in bed and looking at the moon sounded so dirty, Violet felt a strong desire inside of her. She and Frank went to all the clubs along St. Catherine Street after that. They spent their money lavishly on martinis and expensive dishes, and then had to hold each other as they walked home inebriated. The universe was filled with the constellations of different theaters and restaurants and cabaret halls. They spent whole afternoons at the movies. Between shows were variety acts. A chimpanzee came out in a tuxedo, smoking a cigarette, making them laugh and laugh. Nothing in the newsreels pointed out that life would ever be anything other than fun and opulence. They would remain spoiled children until the day they died, receiving everything their hearts desired. They always planned to move to someplace bigger than the hotel room, but they were very bad with money. Violet walked to the corner store one morning in a $30 dress that still had the price tag hanging from the bottom of it. She waltzed sleepily through the aisles while other people, dressed for work, were about to start their day. They found Violet beautiful and charming, but they didn't envy her because they knew the life she was leading couldn't last. Being a thief was a suspension of disbelief, and sooner or later, you would be woken up to the reality of the world. Frank and Violet were at the museum one Sunday when she pointed out a pair of colorful shoes in a painting of a French aristocratic woman. She found the shoes so pretty. They were embroidered with red and purple flowers and had golden heels. Frank had the same pair custom made for her. He wanted to get her things no one else could get for her, that were made just for her. He described them to the cobbler. Frank told the cobbler to leave the toes open to offer a glimpse of Violet's pretty polished toenails. The cobbler covered them in a colorful silk brocade fabric with flowers that looked like starbursts. They were delightful dancing sandals, but Violet wore them everywhere, whether she was dancing or not. During the next robbery, as he was dragging her out of the bank, one of the shoes slipped off and was left behind on the steps. As the detective held the pretty slipper in his hand, he thought a visit to the downtown cobbler's would solve the mystery of whom the shoe fit.